but we all do it.
Yeah.
Because we all
do it. Sure.
And that's, for me, a huge thing is to just listen to the judgment that goes on all the time. Good, bad.
Yes, must be contained a confinement. It must be so, but maybe it is not so. So it might be my judgment that makes it to a must be and not as are.
Well, how is this like make it up and make it real?
Yeah, it's got to be the way you want it to be. Must be the way you want it to be.
Well, I guess, yeah, okay, that's actually a really good way to say it, Missy. Now, I've got, that's what I was reaching for. It's like, I guess things as they are is like people say, and I hate this, by the way, oh, you know, be realistic, or but that, in reality,
or
I mean,
that's just the way it is. Everybody says that all the time. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And that's
not too far there. Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Well, then you've given up so much in that statement. You know.
Yeah. Okay, got it.
If you want it to be other than what everybody is accepting as the norm, then you must set things as they must be, and that is making it up and making it real.
Right. You must do what you desire. Must.
I'm having difficulty with the word must. Must seems to me to be an order.
Well, must be relative to, and that makes it different, must be relative to how you see life. So if it's make it up and make it real, then it's how you see things relative to life. And then in order to have it be that way, that's the way it must be.
Okay. Yes, I see.
The way I was thinking of it after you said that was like with Simone's situation, or even, you know, a situation I might have with being just like really overly busy at work right now. Yeah, I'd be getting overwhelmed by that, but I really could just say, oh, this must be showing me, helping me realize or getting my attention so I will finally, you know, that kind of thing. Must be that way.
Find the joy in it, you know?
No, if you're
going
to look for joy,
you create a problem. Like Roger once told me after I was really bummed out about like losing a job, he says, well, how do you make this work for you? I said, what do you mean? Situation is what it is. He said, no, it's not. Situation is, you know, whatever you want it to be, or you decide it to be. So how and in what ways is this situation as it is really working out for you? Really taking you where you want to go. It's a very powerful bit of medicine.
Yeah, because in things like that, you can look at it as an ending or a new beginning, as something that is terrible, or something that is opening up the world wide open to you to say, okay, so now what do you truly desire to be?
Mm-hmm. Well, any negative emotion is attached to the being, not to the, this is where I always mess up, the eternal self, or the, what do we call it now? In other words, when we're distressed about something, it's all about a very contracted view of us being here present, human.
Yeah, very much lower body stuff.
Instead of that eternal being that we could enact the same kind of situation in many situations forever because it works.
Yeah, we can live by default, or we can live as we truly desire. Which way do you want to go?
Right. Yeah, manipulate. Or not, just be and watch for the open door. Yeah.
So we could exchange the must by truly desire, or Is happiness for you based on things as they are or on things as you truly desire them?
Well,
can I understand it that way?
What? It's not.
It's not really.
If you truly desired it, then that's still your idea of how you want it. Instead of seeing how it can unfold, like, in other words, you didn't set out when after last week that you were going to intentionally perform this, make this happen in a certain way, but you had an awareness that it could start to unfold because you had the tools now to be a watchfully aware of an open door that appeared.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you? I mean, that's how I would see it for me. And I think I've done this stuff a lot of times in my life. I just distracted myself about a lot of other shit.
Anybody else have anything to add to this one?
No, that was good. Thank you guys for offering on that one. Got me on track.
Okay. Let's see. Who's next in the alphabet?
I don't know. I'm A. Who's anything after A?
Angela.
We got a lot of
but she's not here.
Angela's not here.
Right.
Might be up to M already.
Are we all the way up to me?
Jeez. We have Greg.
I am
Greg.
He feels uncomfortable still, so.
Okay,
it's up to Misty's turn. Okay.
Well, it's me, because I'm M.A.
Oh, you're M.A., so.
And you're M.I.
That's right. Marilyn gets to go next.
Oh, Marilyn.
Okay, so I'm on 16?
Yes.
Early in your development, you believed in and extolled the virtues you hoped would make you wise and strong and happy and independent. But after you grew a little in strength and wisdom and gradually became independent, you had no real sustaining principle to guide and inspire you and make you happy other than more of the same. But more of the same only turned into more particular. And yourself and life actually became narrower and narrower, which you considered to be lesser and more confining and not so happy. So, what will you do now?
Ooh. Are there any people here who feel that their lives have become more narrow than they were when you were younger?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yes.
Not since Roger and
Wade. I guess narrow in what way? In what area? Narrow in what? Sometimes I think that I'm narrow when I have to have, when I like something, or if I don't like something, I really don't like it. That's kind of narrow, yeah.
Can be.
So... So some things I just don't talk about if I'm really narrow.
Well, just getting set in your ways is narrowing. How many people do you know that were more like free spirits when they were young, and now you see them and you look at them and you go, my goodness, what happened to you?
That was me. I thought a free spirit, and now I'm really, like, I have real strong opinions, and I'm, you know... Although, even though I do have strong opinions, I listen to other people, and I don't say that they're wrong. I just go, I don't believe that. Like, let's say politics. I just go, okay, that's how you want to believe, that's fine. I don't, like, hate them or anything.
Yeah, but I think that we're looking at it more in the view of expanding into your eternal being and being more expansive that way. And most people are not. Most people are just kind of like a herd of cattle that just kind of move through life, and this is just the way it's done, and this is where you move to, and this is what happens, and, you know, and then they put you in the chute, and the next thing you know, you're dead.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. So you're not talking about a subject matter.
No, I'm not really talking about subject matter.
You're talking,
talking about
more,
the internal.
Yeah.
And how when you get here, you have all these opportunities, you know, and so many of us do this because this is what Dad thought I should do, or this is the way everybody does this, and you can just feel the whole thing narrowing down to the point where all you're doing is living loner body, and you're not living very much of the eternal you. So if that's the case, the question at the end is posed. So, what will you do now?
Well, probably the first thing to do is to become conscious that you're even doing it. That you're even having those feelings, that you're having that narrowness or expansion. So you have to actually really be aware.
So consciously deciding how you will live your life.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rather than just kind of going along with, okay, and that's the way it is.
And expand.
Okay. Yeah. Anybody else have views on that?
Do things that make you expand.
And what would things that make you expand be like?
What does that look like?
Drop all the old crap we've been attached to.
Such
no,
a,
it's like feeling, finding something you're proud of, and that, in that, and find that expansion in that.
How do you know that you're being expanded? Like how would you, what would that, is that like a feeling?
Because
is that,
you let go of the discontent. It's not there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You're just so proud of yourself and just blows everything up.
Was it pride in self or pride in what you have done or accomplished?
Actually, for me, it's been a lot of aha moments.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of
what
the
do
earliest,
you mean by that?
Well, one of the earliest that I can think of that happened to me was my aha moment about being married. You know, that I always thought that was the thing to do, and then later on, really became aware that there were other options
than being married.
Except, you know, even with a child, there's other, total other options to that.
Yeah.
And that hanging on to a man was never what it was supposed to be about. Anyway. So that was just an early aha for me, and that expanded an awareness.
Mm-hmm.
The latest has been letting go of medicine, of, you know, my idea of what the practice of medicine has been about. I kind of thought they moved the goalpost, but now it's like maybe I saw it wrong.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
So what's the discontent? The only discontent could be with the way I was looking at it.
Or avenues you were exploring.
Right. Well, so stop. I just have to stop being discontented. And recognize
that. Well, how do you stop something?
A whole.
So how do you do that?
How do you stop something?
When you recognize you haven't even adequately explored it to have a judgment about it, that there's every imaginable way in the world to do so many different things. I mean, almost everything.
So did you stop it, or do you do other?
It's an other. It's an awareness. It's an expansion.
Realizing there's so much more out there.
And that's what I was saying, is the discontentment can only be in our own contracted beliefs. And then it's just let go of that discontentment, because it just is a contracted belief.
Yeah, but you don't let go of discontentment. You can't let go of anything. All you can do is do
right.
Other.
Not inhibit energy or...
All you can do is do other.
Right.
Yeah.
And in
yeah.
that, as you're doing other, pretty soon you realize, oh my goodness, I'm not discontent anymore.
Yeah.
But you can't consciously go after something to stop your discontent. It doesn't work that way. It's like chasing butterflies. You know, you have a really hard time doing that.
Yeah, I think you have to replace it with something else. Do others, you know, doing you. Slowly the contentment will occur, or the discontentment will disappear.
If you find yourself like a doctor and discontented, you just find like an open door to take you somewhere in there, like you went into the cannabis field, which is just the beginning of a whole field now, you know? Anything?
Well, you know, it was a longer story. No, I wasn't. Misty can tell you I did not go gracefully.
What
I
are
know,
we speaking?
Right, but I held on to a lot of discontent about that.
Oh, yes, you have had that potential.
Yeah.
Okay, so
if you would have just followed your passion to like the DNA thing and all that, you know, instead of just the other, I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, you have so many other you can explore with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can.
Okay, anybody else have anything to add to this? Or question, or whatever. Okay, 17.
No.
It is time for you to look beyond everything you know about yourself and life, and think you know about the universe, and perceive things as they must be, rather than seeing things as you have been told they are, and you believed that. So this one is very similar to, what was that, 15?
Yes, 15.
As they must be in order for the universe to be as you truly desire.
So, I understand when you go with everything what you know, then it is what you have been told it has to, I struggle over that word again, that it is so. Yeah. And you don't question that.
So when you're basically living and seeing things as you have been told they are, then basically you're living a loner life. You're not living your true self. You're not expanding yourself beyond the limitations of what everybody else has seen in life and what they have done.
Yeah.
Anybody else have anything to add or question or state?
No, it's just, what my vision that I got there was, it's like cells in the body that are just like stuck really close to each other, but there's still a space between them. And if you go through that space between them, it opens up to other cells. And so it's sort of like sometimes it's just that push through or that opening up that happens, that when you are in that space, there is a contentment with being in that space and not having to push discontentment away. In other words, I don't know, that's just a visual I got talking about this, how things even seep through us as beings, as through our physical being. So we don't think really in terms of things happening like that. So it happens not only in our physical being, but in the big scheme. So it's kind of the fractal continuing, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So you have to be an unbeliever. And just good. Don't believe anything, and then
Well, isn't it kind of a different way of the... Isn't it really a different way of seeing the true ideal?
What is an ideal?
No, it's emergent. It's emergent. That's what it
is. I know, but it talks about how early in our development we believe in and extol these virtues that we think are what should be. And so, in growing away from that, it just forces us to open up to the virtues that are, maybe, or that
whatever
we want to live.
Whatever you desire.
Well, it's always with that idea in mind that it's something that we live forever. And that wouldn't want to be in a discontented space. Although I've done a fair share of dropping them in there.
Yep. I think we all have.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so moving on to 18.
18.
I guess we're up to...
Nothing.
I think it's you, Roger.
Yeah.
Who's that?
Huh?
It's up to Roger, I think.
I thought so. Nothing must be will eternally sustain you and excite you, while things as they are will always disappoint you and let you down. And through knowing, it will steal excitement and the thrill of happiness from you. Are you willing to always life and live how things must be? And how they must be is ever transforming.
Yeah. American.
So how is that so? How things must be will eternally sustain you and excite you. Why is that so?
Well, that's you. I mean, I understand how you talked about it. But
say that again, Andrew. I didn't hear what you said.
Yeah, I was trying to talk over somebody. Sorry about that. No, I was just saying, as you talked about it earlier, as, you know, make it up and make it real, you know, living as you desire, making events, or... What? Understanding, viewing, realizing events as you desire them to be that work for you? I mean, that's continually exciting, but things as they are can be limiting, depressing, feeling stuck, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's like we always used to say, whatever you believe, you made it up. So why live something that you made up that you don't even like in the first place?
Absolutely.
Make your life work for you all the time.
Good. Anybody else have more to add to that or have a question of any kind?
Yeah. The must be is ever transforming. Now I understand it, yes. No. It's not a confinement. It's transforming. No.
It's an expansion. Not a contraction.
Yeah.
Okay, then we're on to the S's, I guess. I don't, is percent on here? Okay, so we're up to Sharon then.
19. Is it at all possible to know anything that is ever transforming? If so, how? For anything that is ever transforming is one thing now that is different than a moment ago and will be different in the next moment. And if you cannot know something that is ever transforming, how can you possibly know yourself? For in constantly learning, growing, and developing, you are ever transforming, aren't you? Well, we are anyway. It's not like we quit.
Okay. That one's pretty self-explanatory, unless somebody has a question in there.
No.
Well, it's kind of, a challenge, you know, like, to be kind of be brave and just do it, right?
You can't help but you do it anyway. I mean, if you're alive, you're doing this. Every cell in your body is transforming. So everything's transforming.
Can you really know your body?
Man, it pulls tricks on you.
Then I would say the answer to that is no. Because it's ever
even
transforming.
When you think you're very, very even when you think you're very aware.
Right.
It pulls it. Unfortunately, the body has ways of turning off the signals to those of us who live in it.
It's very mercurial. You can't ever put your finger on it because it's ever transforming. It's never where you think it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is it ahead of us?
No.
I don't know if you can put it in a linear way of speaking. It's more
in looking behind, you may understand the body by some out-picturings or something.
It's just every second.
You can't look ahead anyway because everything's behind, even in the moment.
No, we're just behind, but we're really ahead. And our little language selves here are behind.
Do you think maybe it's not aware of what's happening?
I think it's aware more, faster than we, just our little language people here.
You're talking about hindsight?
No, I'm talking about hindsight. Like.
Well, I think that the body is very aware of things that we are not consciously aware of. And that's what I was saying, is that it actually turns off that communication to the body.
Okay.
But it's all in the past anyway. I mean, because if we looked at anything in the body, we now see what's in the past. We don't see in the future.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, we see. but the body might be ahead of us already.
There is nothing ahead of us.
Maybe, like, I don't know. I just thought of that. It's not like a belief.
No, I don't think I would question that.
You guys make it some wild thoughts.
Did you say the body's never ahead of us?
Yes.
It's simultaneous.
Okay, so, anybody else have a question about that?
Nope.
Nope.
Okay.
So we're
Simone.
To Simone.
Okay. Or 19. Are we here?
20.
Or 20?
20.
Oh, yes. Yeah, oh. That was 19. Is it possible that you have a negative attitude towards ever transforming? Must everything come to a standstill just so you can know yourself? Well, let's see who you really are. Mm-hmm. So this goes on now, huh?
Each one's gotta be independent. So.
What do you mean by independent?
Each passage stands alone.
Yeah, that's what I say. Now all the images will be explained. Yeah. Self-image. Yeah.
Ego, body, personal being.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then it's really about just the first sentence.
Yeah.
Okay. I still get negative.
Yeah, but it's a negative attitude towards ever transforming.
Well, I guess when I get negative, I should think I'm ever transforming and I might snap out of it.
Are you ever transforming? Because if you are ever transforming, then you could never know yourself.
How
you can know if you're negative or not, right? Contented or not.
Yes, but what did we talk about as ever transforming? Go back up to 19. Is it possible to know anything that is ever transforming?
Right, no.
So,
well, in the moment.
No, because that's in the past now.
Andrew, you got a take on this?
You said something about what is. You can't ever know anything that's always transforming?
That's 19.
Yeah, you can only know it as it was, because all knowing is in the past, but you'll never know as it is, it's always changing.
So what it's asking is, must everything come to a standstill just so you can know yourself?
Yeah, brick wall.
Yeah, I was thinking death.
Yeah.
Well, death is only a transition. Death is only a transition. It doesn't, you know, if you're talking about knowing the loner body, yeah, at death that kind of ends. But knowing your true self, that doesn't change. Everybody get that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something that was in my head. I think the ever transforming is only you do have an underlying pattern that is you, your true self, and that is not really changing. Maybe the expression of that is changing.
Right.
Ever changing. Yeah. But not your true self, actually. So there is no need for a standstill. No.
Because if you're going to stand still, all you're trying to know is your lower body.
Yeah.
Two people at once. What did you say, Misty?
I don't remember.
If you're in standstill, you're at a lower body.
But yeah, if you're going to stand still, then all you're trying to know is the lower body.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Transforming.
I was just asking, I didn't catch it, what you said earlier about something about some part of you that never changes.
Your eternal self, your true self, doesn't change. It can expand, but it doesn't change.
That's interesting. That's a good piece of the puzzle I haven't been working in lately.
So it's like that was like that vision that I was saying that I saw where you're in between. You're in the in between and everything changes and evolves around you, the physical body, but you're in the in between. And you have the ability to move through that and recognize that there's lots of options that you go through. You can be in between and open up onto this whole other structure that it's evolving because it's always evolving. But you're in the in between.
All right, I like that.
Yeah.
That does make some sense to me.
It's always like I always have kind of thought that the eternal being is more like the energy that comes through the body up into maybe a hair or a cell but that energy is not part of the body. It's part of it's that in between. It's the eternalness, and the body structure is just the cellular structure. That's the contracted vision. In fact, we contract it down into a cellular structure.
I guess if you say you can, if you're ever transforming and can't know yourself, then you can kind of lose the ego that says, oh, I'm this, I'm that.
Right, even giving yourself a definition like that is a contracted.
Right.
Definition. It's in the beingness. It's in the beingness instead of in the in-between.
In the label.
Anyway.
Okay, well, let's get back to another passage.
Sorry, it works for me.
Good. I think you helped some other people gain an image of what you're saying. So, now we're on to Susan, right?
Okay, 21.
Yes.
You have a self-image, but you are not that self-image. You effectuate that self-image, and the self-image effectuated brings you alive. But without a self-image, though you have existence, you are not alive. The you that summons forth a self-image, and in turn is brought to life by that self-image, is an ego. Oh, look at that. And what is an ego?
What was it?
That's just what we were saying. It's like the descriptions you put, your self-image, like I'm this, I'm that. He's saying brings you alive, but without one, you're not alive. So, where's that ego?
Everybody always says, oh, well, you've got to get rid of your ego, and you've got to get, you know, live other than that. But without an ego, without a self-image, you have no life. You don't exist.
So why does it have such a bad rap?
Because of, what was it, Freud who did that whole thing on self-image?
Right.
An ego?
Do we have a cell phone?
Yeah.
Sorry. Somebody's
She's getting it away. I guess it was Freud poo-pooed the self-image, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
Saying that it was bad.
Market on girls.
That people, if they thought well of themselves or anything else, that that was a terrible thing, and that, that you should stifle yourself, your ego, and I don't know, a bunch of other things, which I don't agree with at all.
So what do you, so an ego is self, so how would you describe yourself as an ego?
An ego is your self-image in action, I believe. You got anything on that, Andrew?
I'm sorry, I can't hear too terribly much what's being said, but
how would you describe ego?
Yeah, I just, you know, it's just, I think it's the most important, like, I don't think people realize how important it is. I just watched a little bit of a clip of a movie today that was on the news, but basically it's they went to a prison, and they're looking at people in Hawaii who are in prison, and these guys are talking about, you know, discovering themselves through, you know, their Polynesian culture and stuff. It's just, you know, people desperately seeking an image. Do all kinds of things just to have them. Even stuff they don't want.
But aren't they really seeking their eternal self and trying to find another definition so that, because again, we're kind of lost without a 2 point. We got to have 2 points.
Sure. Yeah, without a point of reference, I agree with you. People are lost. I even heard somebody not too long ago say, like, talking about the Muslims, the radical Muslims, and he was one of them previously, and he said, you have no idea, these people would rather die than give up being a Muslim, because there's nothing scarier than losing your image of who you think you are.
Yeah.
He actually had converted to Christianity, but over time, but he was just completely, I mean, I guess it was just completely difficult for him.
Right.
So
it's all good that we have to be ever, what they say in here,
we don't have to be
ever transforming.
Like it is.
Ever transforming. Our egos have to be ever transforming.
Why does an ego have to be ever transforming?
Because everything has to be ever transforming, and. And the ego brings you alive, and if you have like an ever-transforming emergent ego, you can really live it up.
You wouldn't know who you are.
Well, sure, because, I mean...
If it's always changing, I mean, if you don't have some fixed point of reference, I agree, everything's always going to be different.
Well, it doesn't change that fast because, you know, you still have the same clothes and the same car and the same, you know, I mean.
But that's not what we're speaking about.
You have stuff to create your point of reference, your stable point of reference. But I still say if you're changing, then you'll see those things different. It'll be insanity.
Yeah.
I agree with
my opinion or my experience of trying to be in the present moment. It's just, you don't know a thing in the present moment.
Well, time is another thing. I'm just transforming, like, how fast it all goes.
time is made up. In human sense.
We create an image.
When you effectuate
it, we can change it if we want.
I guess the question just goes down to if you, you know, which one do you want? I think the universe will support either one. It'll help you see the world that way. So if you want an ever-changing one, give it a try. If you want, you know, an eternal concept,
more security,
try that.
Okay, so let's move on to 22, because we ended with the question, but what is an ego? And I'm 22, which is back to you, Andrew.
Okay. 22, you have an ego, but you are not that ego. You effectuate that ego, and the ego effectuated brings you alive. But without an ego, so you have existence, you are not alive. The you that summons forth an ego, and in turn is brought to life by that ego, is a body. But what is a body? See, I think this sounds like it makes sense, but I have the hardest time getting my brain around what's going on with this. I mean, I just think it is true because everything's constantly changing. You can't pin down anything in one place, or maybe there's so much going on, but I really have a hard time getting a handle on this.
Well, what he's trying to do is trying to cement an image of how everything works together.
Like a physical body. Yeah. In the universe.
I mean, basically this goes through and you can never find you. There's never a pinpointable, knowable you. It's just,
well, that was the initial question. That was the initial question. But who are you really? Who you really are? Let's see who you really are.
Yeah.
And so what he's doing is he's bringing you through these different things to show you that you are so much more than you ever thought you were, and how all these things interplay together to emergent the total you that you are. So each one of these things is a constituent in the emergent that is you. So you have a self-image, okay, and that self-image comes around forth to ego, mm-hmm. which comes around forth to body, which comes around forth to personal being, which comes around to privileged being, so on and so forth, all the way down through this, so that you can see the interconnectedness of all these things. That is what he's trying to get across, I believe. And since he's not here to ask, I'm going to go with that one.
Does it mean that we brought forth our bodies, like, metaphysically, like,
I mean, did you make your body? No. No.
No.
But your body is brought to life by the ego. But the body itself is a random thing. Have I lost everybody?
No, I got it.
Really
physical or not physical, you know, like, pretty physical, I guess, you know.
Well, the physical body is physical. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
Up till this point, we weren't really talking about physical. Now we're talking about physical. And then we're going to go back beyond physical. Okay?
Okay.
Yes.
So we're up to 23. And that is...
Yeah, right. And maybe that helps a little. I was looking ahead. And actually, he's building up in these paragraphs the condition of godness and explains what interplay, is that the right word to do? How the different images are interplaying for the condition of godness.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't...
Is that understandable?
I don't think he... Did he talk about the... I guess he did talk about the condition of godness in this one, didn't he? Okay, so...
27, yes.
Yeah, but we have to... We're not there yet. So I don't want to pull that in
that
yet.
Yeah, that spoils it for me.
Okay, we'll just pretend you didn't hear it.
Okay.
So...
Okay, 23. You have a body... But you are not that body. You effectuate that body, and the body effectuated brings you alive. For without a body, though you have existence, you are not alive. The you that summons forth a body and in turn is brought to life by that body is a personal being. But what is a personal being?
So you see how he's explaining to you each one of these different bodies and parts, so that you can finally understand the whole wholeness of the whole thing.
I like that sense, the you that summons forth a body.
Right.
It's like, that doesn't sound like a physical thing. It sounds like a...
Well, summons forth...
And you have to effectuate it.
You have to put it into action. You have to put it into action.
Yeah, you have to. Otherwise you are not alive if you don't act. Yeah.
Okay.
Personal being.
Who are we up to?
24.
Okay. You have a personal being, but you are not that personal being. You effectuate that personal being, and the personal being effectuated brings you alive. For without a personal being, though you have existence, you are not alive. The you that summons forth a personal being and in turn is brought to life by that personal being is a privileged being. But what is a privileged being? So you see how he's bringing you down through this whole thing to show the interconnectedness of all of it.
So the personal being brings forth the body. Alright, let's see what privilege brings us. The illuminated. Resplendent.
He's 25.
Privilege being.
Okay, so we're at 25. And that is Sharon. No, Roger.
Roger. 25. You have a privileged being. That you are not that privileged being. You effectuate that privileged being. Privileged being effectuated brings you alive. For without a privileged being, though you have existence, you are not alive. The you that summons forth a privileged being and in turn is brought to life by that privileged being is a resplendent, illuminated being. But what is a resplendent, illuminated being? Okay, somebody can explain that one to me.
Yeah, just keep going here. You ready for 26?
Well, he wants that explained. So. Would somebody explain that to him? I need to run to the other room, so somebody explain it for me.
What was this again? What are we doing? Which one?
Explain 25.
Yeah.
What is a resplendent, illuminated being?
No, the privileged being is 25.
It brings forth a resplendent illuminated being, but what is the privileged being?
No, okay. What is that, and then what is the illuminated being?
As I recall, privileged being was your privileged being in that you have the ability to choose how you'll be alive.
Yeah.
Ah.
Just like if, I don't know, if you make a choice as to how you'll be alive. Everybody has done this, whether they recognize it or not. But then as you live that, I guess the communion of that choice and living and your body creates a splendid being. But, you know, I am not a fan of these terms. That's what I think I recall, but I don't feel like I'm well conversant with them.
Okay.
But you've been using them for years, right? Yeah.
Or in these conversations. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think Roger was trying to say, you know, once you're living in communion with your eternal self and you're clear about these things, you know, you see your body and you're not that, and you sense your how you've chosen to be alive and you're expressing that and it's just all going together. I think he's saying there's a whole other sense of self that is emergent in life.
Mm-hmm.
So he's talking about this, but there's nothing that any of us can reference right now without having done all that. It's evident to you after you're living in a certain way, I think.
It is really that it's the privileged being in action, living as you truly desire, is the illuminated being, the splendid illuminated being.
No.
And what does that mean, Misty, to you? Is that like a physical thing? Is that an experience? Or is that just a placeholder?
Resplendent illuminated being, to me, is non-physical. It is.
Yeah, but is it just is an idea we're using to talk about a way to live life, or is it something you would actually sense, experience, feel, measure?
I think that there's a sense that comes with it, an expansive feeling, a lack of confinement,
easiness.
Well, definitely an easiness, but a total comfort. I don't know, well-being that comes over you. There is no discontent of any kind.
Like a peacefulness.
A peace, you know, as they say, a peace beyond understanding is one of the ways the Christians call it. But I think that it is just a total encompassing sense of self that is totally fine with everything.
Okay. So you're proposing this as a state of being, a state of mind, a sense of self.
Yeah, I think it's basically the condition of you're coming to the condition of godness. I mean, where you are basically all the omnis, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah.
I don't know, does anybody have another take on it?
Like more of a spiritual?
Yeah.
Would you say something like more spiritual?
Well, in a few readings I've done, I've had a sense of somebody going along in life just like they are, but there's also an additional sense of like some presence of self that's just like ever present in life, in the universe. In between the universe, I don't know how you say it, like your body could drop dead, you'd still be aware of it. You'd still be aware of yourself.
Yes.
Something like that. But it's not something I experience personally on a daily basis.
Yeah, it may become more and more common in your life to the point where it is all that there is. You got to get a taste of it first, right? So you have had little.
Well, that was always the thing I had with Roger and going discussion of, but in my way of, at least the best that I can figure now is there are experiences of yourself that you can have, but you're not going to have them until you're doing certain things. And you're trying to help us use those things to, what's the word, evoke or enliven that sense.
Hang on for just 1 second. Whoever's washing their dishes, can you mute while you do that? Thank you.
Okay, all right. Okay.
Go on, Andrew.
Oh, just saying, I mean, I think these are, maybe this is something we can talk about, but you're not, my, where I'm at with this currently is I think there are experiences, from talking to Roger about this, there are experiences in life that you just, you're not going to have until you're doing, living life in a certain way, and like all that 14A, he was trying to give us preparations for ways to, I don't know what you call it, evoke that or bring that on, or, I don't know if that's the right word, but. What's the word we used to use? Induce that.
Okay.
But I mean, you know, it's just, it's yeah. Anyway.
You don't know it until you're doing it, right?
That's what I think. I just, yeah. That's what I think.
So
you gotta take, to me then, you gotta take a lot of this as talking about something that you're not gonna experience until you're doing all the things that you're talking about. But so for now, he's just talking about it. Not telling you what it is, where it is, or how to get there, or how to experience it, just about it. That's what I, how I read this, that's how I understand it.
Well, you have to make it must be.
You have to make it must be, okay.
Actually, I get a different take on it because I think he's being very direct. I think he's saying, if you think it's the self-image, well, it's that, but it's more. And if you think it's the ego, well, yes, it's that, but it's more. And that's not it.
And
if you think it's the body, well, it's not it, and there's more. But that is it. So it's sort of, it's almost like he's just putting a definition around it.
I agree.
Because what you're doing in that sentence, Sharon, seems very similar to what he's doing in the sense of,
it is
a very specific, but then in the same breath saying it is not anything.
It's not that, it's so much more. And so, because he can't go directly to what it is, because that's the resplendent, illuminated being is an experiential.
He's putting it out there.
Right. What he's saying in each one of these cases is, that's part of it, but that's not it.
And so he's drawing definition around something that you cannot put a physical definition on, because then you've lost what it is.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, so we're up to, 26?
Yeah.
And that is Simone?
I think it's
Sharon. Did you not go? Okay, Sharon.
You have a resplendent, illuminated being, but you are not that illuminated being. You effectuate that illuminated being, and the illuminated being effectuated brings you alive. For without an illuminated being, though you have existence, you are not alive. And you, that summons forth an illuminated being, and in turn is brought to life by that illuminated being, is a condition of godness. But what is a condition of godness?
Here we are.
Yep, here we are.
It's an expanded little illuminated being.
So it's an illuminated being in action.
Yes, without restriction.
No.
Yep.
No. No.
Okay.
Although I would question when he says you are a particular self-declared eternal personification of that universal. So
we haven't read that one yet.
Personification?
Yeah, we didn't read that.
No.
Simone.
That's what I said before.
That's Simone's line.
We haven't read that one yet, so we're still talking on 26.
Simone, read it.
All right, Simone, read it so everybody is up
well,
on.
My okay. My
27. Omni applied to God indicates all complete universal without restriction. As a condition of Godness, you are a particular self-declared eternal personification of that universal. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, so.
But the personification is what I have an issue with. How can he call it a personification?
Why not?
Anything you particularize as a personification.
Yeah.
As long as it's,
as long as it's not.
Without particularization, you are not alive, as I understand. Each being, you have to, what's the word? Effectuate.
To be alive.
Yes. Otherwise, you are not alive. You have only the condition, but the condition is not alive as physical alive in loner body.
Is that what he means in the personification?
That's what I understand.
What he means in the personification, in my opinion, is you are God in action.
Okay.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, and I see it the way Simone says here too.
But you, so he says you are the condition. You are the condition.
You have to be, or you don't exist.
Right. I guess Simone explained that very well. The other stuff is just effectuating, but you have to have a condition in order to
of godness.
No, you don't have to have it as God.
That's what it's about.
That's what it's all about. Too.
Yeah, it is. It's about God knows.
You have
it
to
all came to this.
What did Marilyn say?
I said it is. It's Godness. It's a condition of Godness. I mean, I can. It's like all of these came together to come to this. To the.
You could just leave out the Godness part. You just call it a condition.
No.
Well, but it's a God condition that is different than a condition. Just a condition.
You have. You obviously have a.
Are there any other conditions then?
All of these.
Yeah.
All of those are conditions?
Yeah, I mean, like he always did, he has an expression like condition of Godness, and if he takes that apart, if that's different beings, that we can understand it more, but actually they work all together. Maybe mutually supportive or something like that.
Why don't you go chase that?
Yeah, I think he's trying to shake our brains.
But are there any other conditions?
Go on.
We're struck by the loud cookies.
Oh, yeah.
What?
But there's some really loud cookies. It feels like they're in the same room. Right?
Oh, okay.
Super loud. So, anyway.
See, I scared it.
They're creating the condition of their being.
Yeah. They do.
They are. That's their ego, their little ego, saying, come love me.
So it's got to be right here.
What does that look like?
My condition?
She said, well, are you willing to do all things as glorifying eternal expression of your condition of Godness? What does that look like?
It's just my condition. What would it look like to me? It looks like doing everything as I truly desire, or doing everything to be proud of, that I am willing to do that forever and ever and ever.
Okay. Anybody else?
No.
I don't want to have anything to do with that Godness.
Yeah, well, you just have a negative feeling towards the word.
Yeah, I know.
What could you use instead
of the word?
What would you use instead of that word?
You can use...
I just leave it off. My condition.
No, because condition is too...
No.
Limiting, too small.
Not my condition.
Okay, well, we'll let that one go, Susan.
Okay, we'll just let that, my negativity on that go.
Susan, I actually suspect that there is something... really important to you in that. Something that you would really, really enjoy. Just the struggle is an indicator to me that there's something going on.
Uh-huh. I agree.
Yeah, but it's not probably what you think.
Well, that's right. How do you do that? Like, do readings to find out what's going on there?
Ask for a dream.
Ask yourself.
Ask for a dream. What I would say to do, Susan, is for the next 3 or 4 nights, 3 times before you go to bed, you ask that question. You write down any dreams you remember, and then we can look at some of those maybe next week. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
I'm gonna write that down right now.
Nope, that's homework. We'll ask you about it next week.
Cool.
That's homework. We're gonna ask you about it next week.
Want to have the immaculate conception.
Yeah, you're talking immaculate realization, will do.
Immaculate realization. Yeah. Okay. Number 28. All right. All right, so, 29.
Everybody else is willing, I guess, right?
Yeah. I don't think any of us have a hang-up related to that.
Yeah. You're pretty well now, aren't you?
Okay, so where are we?
29.
We back around to the beginning again of the alphabet? Yeah.
Is that it? Am I following Susan tonight? Okay.
Yep.
29, it is crucial for you to understand that you, as a condition of godness, are constantly and continuously declared and summoned forth, just as Lazarus was called forth from his tomb. If you do not answer the summons of your condition of godness, Susan, that condition and realm of yourself is lost from awareness, and your life returns to striving and aspiring, hoping to be aware of and affirm who you are, to glorify yourself again sometime.
Continuously declared and summoned forth.
Well, that's what we have said all along, is that you must declare yourself and live it.
Uh-huh. Well, even if you don't consciously declare yourself,
all your actions declare you. Everything you do declares you. Everything you do declares you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, as long as you're alive, you're doing this. No choice.
Of being summoned forth.
That's what being alive is.
But you can do it so much more expansively if you do realize it.
I know, that's the point. I'm sitting out there somewhere in this world, actually not too far away from us, but I know most people think about what they really want in life, things like, you know, money and happiness, relationships and health, basically what that movie The Secret goes over and over and over for 3 hours, but I actually think there's something else that is, that what people really want is creating themselves in a certain way, and I think that's what this is getting at. Just, they don't know it.
And to declare it.
I think that's what everybody truly desires. They just don't realize it, and they keep thinking that, if I do this, then I will, or if I do that, then I will, or if I join this religion, I will, or if I espouse this, then I am, or whatever. I really believe that is the essence of every living, actually, maybe even all creatures.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Most people put it on an outcome rather than a thing that you're doing at every moment. You get to be what you're living and creating of yourself at every moment.
Yeah.
And
I agree.
It can be an amazing, amazing, amazing experience. It's up to you. That's why your life is, that's what you are doing here.
Yeah, life can be ho-hum, or life can be just an absolute ecstatic experience. It's up to you.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the cool thing about forever living. we do get tools to experience that and train ourselves in finding and declaring who we want to be. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 30, Marilyn.
Let's look carefully at your self-declared personifications as a condition of godness. A self-image is the personification of an ego, which is the personification of a body, which is the personification of a personal being, which is the personification of a privileged being, which is the personification of a resplendent, illuminated being, which is the personification of a condition of godness, all of which, undiminished, occurs and acts in accord and agreement, and truly in harmony, thus offering joint and equally authority from a self-image to a condition of godness, and ensuring the same properties to every aspect of yourself and life. So this kind of like summed it up. This is the summing up of it all of what we just talked about all night.
Yeah. No, it says let's offer joint and equal authority in the self image. All those are equal, the personal, the have equal authority.
Absolutely. That's pretty cool.
Perfect.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody have any other questions or comments on that?
Nope, I got one.
Nope.
Okay, so we're on 31. Do you sense the nature of fractals in this? For like fractals, which is an identical, ever-replicating and diminishing, yet never-changing form and pattern, or theme and nature, every aspect of yourself and life is a fractal of your personified condition of godness.
A fractal is a part. You can find it in the smallest detail.
Whenever this is the gathering of fractals, I mean, you can find them online. Just type in the word fractals on Google.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to have
it
explained.
I have it already.
Okay. So it's basically a pattern that no matter whether you zoom in or zoom out, it's going to keep changing. But repeating. I mean, it's the same, I guess it's kind of like what she said earlier, it's the same basic pattern. It's the same unchanging. Underneath it, there's an equation that doesn't change. But every time you change your frame of reference, it looks different over and over and over.
Yes, Andrew, thank you
pattern.
For getting that.
Yes.
Okay, so I guess we're on to Roger.
32. Each personification enables you to more fully and clearly know and particularize yourself and life as a condition of godness without loss or lessening as you truly desire, which enables you to be infinitely particular eternally.
So you see how that is fractals? There's an infinite way of expression of the pattern, in, but yet the whole formula, or as Andrew just talked about, is consistently always the same. But yet the expressions are totally different each time you look.
Yes.
Okay. Sharon?
It seems in all of this that you, as a condition of godness, are not actually changing. You are transforming, but not changing.
Make sure you guys understand that. You are not changing.
I think this is about where we ended the gathering, yeah?
I think we're getting pretty close.
Because I don't remember this part. This is really kind
so,
of...
So, transforming means them moving or molding from one state into another, huh?
Yeah, basically morphing, yeah. But
it's still
the same thing, just morphed into a different shape.
Well, it's not even a different shape. If you look at the fractal, it's exactly the same shape. It's just a different dimension of the same shape.
Yeah, so it's basically the same thing. It just looks different.
So it's not transformed. It's not changed.
It's not changed, but it is
your frame of reference, your context changes.
Yeah.
And you can, or as you change your frame of reference or context, you see more aspects of it, which is what he's saying here. Each personification
enables you to more fully and clearly know your particularized yourself in life. That position of godness.
So to continue, that's 1D.
1D.
You can be known as a self-image and ego, as a body, as a personal being, or privileged being, or even as an eternal resplendent being. But in all of these transforming visions and forms, you are still a condition of godness. That has not changed.
Is that clear to everybody?
Yeah, these are.
I hear a hum.
No, how snapping clear.
That's because you're still hung up on the condition of godness.
See the fractal, Susan. If you image a fractal, you see how it's clear.
Well, then you must have been there before then, see? You must have been.
Well, that is the godness. Isn't it?
What do you mean you were there before? What is that?
Because you're still there.
It is the eternal resplendent being.
It's still a condition of godness. It must have been there before. Well, that's good. That's good.
I don't understand what you mean. You must have been there before.
It says in here, it says you're still there.
Where?
You're still a condition of godness. You always are.
No matter.
But within that, yeah. If you express as a personal being, as a privileged being, as a resplendent eternal being, as a ego, you always are a condition of godness.
That is never changing.
Yes. No.
Well, yeah, but he doesn't say you are a condition of God. But you're still a condition of God.
Yes. That's the underlying pattern. You may be
infinitely particular.
Right. Yeah.
I guess I just want to know where the pattern started.
Good luck. That's a good one. We've been searching a long time if you come up with it.
There is no beginning.
What did you say?
There is no beginnings. There is no endings. How much can I drill that into your head?
Yeah, that's.
If you're looking for a beginning, then that means you believe in endings. You are and always have been a condition of God.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That's
all I like right here. That's good. Okay. Good. Who's next in the reading?
Probably
me. Okay. 34. Wouldn't you like to meet and know the condition of godness you have personified to bring forth in your life? Sure.
Sure. All right, I say yes.
Just close that discussion off.
Yeah, that just ends it right there. Yes.
What is two question marks?
It just means, you know, to really think about that and ponder it. Okay.
I mean, some of those I know already, and there is much more to bring forth.
I agree, there's a lot more to bring
forth. To open a discussion again. What did you say, Misty?
I agree. I agree. There's much more to bring forth. Okay, yeah. So we're on 35. And that's
Andrew.
Back to Andrew, right?
No, I thought Susan was next.
Oh, Susan.
Simone.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's me. Okay, 35. Okay. Wake up to yourself. You have the divine ability and authority to be and do or summon forth from yourself if you truly desire. And whatever you choose will be you and yours eternally. Four.
You
want to
talk about that
a bit? Well, it's kind of related to the past thing.
The past thing?
Well, like summons forth,
summons forth by living.
The privilege being there. All the beings and the godness,
you summon forth whatever you do, every action, thought, belief, emotion, word, etc., is a constituent. And every constituent is summoning forth the embodiment of those expressions. The self, that expression. And it doesn't necessarily, that doesn't mean it's going to be a great and wonderful self piece. Always said, if you want to be an asshole for everything, I'll make you the best asshole ever in the universe.
There you go.
But whatever you're doing, you're starting right. For. It's like think of emergence.
Okay, and I'll read that last part again. And whatever you choose will be you and yours eternally. For there are no second choices. There's multitudinous expressions. Create of one choice. Are you aware of what personification of a condition of godness you have chosen, declared for yourself to be and live, to do and summon forth eternally?
Okay, it's starting to make some sense here.
Yep. Oh, good.
Are you aware of what personification? That's, have we declared ourselves properly?
Are we happy with our declaration? That's the question, yeah. Each person has to answer that.
What's the question?
Are we aware of what we summoned forth to be?
Most people,
we have chosen and declared. Are we aware of what we have chosen and declared?
Most people, I would say no.
Why?
Because they never studied this.
We never even realized that the possibility exists that they are the God in they are God in life.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's interesting to consider that you want to call it the God form that some people have created is, like a mortal ignoramus.
So, what are some of our...
What's that expression?
Mortal, meaning can die. Ignoramus, meaning don't know what's going on, ignorant.
That's the word of... The noun of in your, okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Is anyone on the phone aware of their personification that you've chosen and declared? I guess
what you are right now.
Yeah.
You look at your life and you know what you've declared.
If you're doing what...
You look at your life and you know what you have declared.
Yeah, like
I know there's that thing out there that people think that, being... whatever, your God self or whatever is something greater than you are now, but this is it right now.
You
it. It doesn't mean you're stuck with it.
Yeah.
You know, take a look and say, oh, that's what I'm doing. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I could do something else if I wanted to. I can continue this. Either one is fine.
But like, Misty's got a declaration of privacy. You probably do too, Andrew.
So the only difference you're talking about is, have I chosen one? Have I declared myself, and am I living it actively, or at least actively to the degree that I've chosen to live it actively or consciously, awarefully?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
All right, that's good.
Do you think you are, Suzanne?
I sure I'm declaring all the time. No. I haven't. I couldn't tell you what that declaration is. Really. I haven't really.
Well, then it looks like you have some more homework to do.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm writing down her homework assignments. Okay.
All right, good, Andrew. Somebody's got to keep track of her homework.
Busy Susan.
Can we have some discussion this week?
That's how those readings come in, and you're like, you know, given an easy path. You know, it's like, because we have no imagination. I don't, you know, our imaginations get stifled when we start choosing and declaring.
But you might not even have thought of it until somebody asked you that too, because maybe you are living, you know, you're doing what you want, what you truly desire, but you haven't maybe described it. Do you know what
right.
I mean?
Right, I haven't.
You haven't made a description and put it in a little.
Seen if I, what I have declared.
Right.
Okay,
what
so.
I've already declared.
Unless anybody else has any more questions about that one, I'm going to call it for the evening, and we're going to pick up again at 36.
Okay, I have a question.
Okay.
So this is, I mean, I'm not actually keeping track of Susan's homework. I just wanted to know, what was the first one? She was going to ask her dreams three or four times. There was a question.
Well, she
about
was
the word.
About the word condition of godness and why she has such a hang-up about
it. Oh, yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Yes, number 28 and number 36.
So how are you going to word that, Susan?
I'm just going to read 28.
Because that'll make a difference as to what you get.
Mm-hmm. Oh. The 28 says, are you willing to do all things as glorifying external expressions of your condition of godness? So I would just ask for my condition of godness.
I think that it's more important for you to understand why you are resisting the word condition of godness, or even just godness.
Well, it's kind of related to choosing and declaring, you know, what I've declared.
When you declare, you don't have a resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a resistance, I would find out why you have a resistance.
Or what's going
and
on.
Declaring comes after, to me. Yeah.
And what you're trying to get to the bottom of is your resistance to the word and what it means to you. And to then set up a new understanding of that word so that you're okay with it.
Right,
and then, because Roger was just doing it because he said, just like me, how polarized I am by it, and you know, how everyone, he's going to say everyone, so that's why it's got to go here, right?
Well, when you come up against those things of that you resist, you can learn gobs about yourself. So.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So what we're asking you to do...
Sticky, resentful things you end up loving once you understand what they are. It becomes the spice of you. You realize it's always the spice of your life.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
So what should I ask? What my resistance is?
I think I should find that out first,
That's the first thing I would try to find out.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, because it may not be even the idea.
That'll be an indicator of what it is that you really want.
And maybe it's not the idea.
My resistance to the word, you know.
Yeah, it's the word.
The word of God.
Okay.
Is it the word or is it your relationship to the word?
Funny thing you ask, because that's kind of how I wrote my notes here.
Yep.
Yeah, because I would think it might be your relationship to the word.
What's the bumper sticker say? The reason?
Yeah, you could have had a past experience where that word brings negative connotations. We don't know, but that's why we're saying ask in a dream.
Okay.
Cool.
All right, I will.
Thank you, guys.
And then number 35. Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, it was a lively evening for me, you guys.
Okay, so we're going to call it a night.
Good night.
Good night for now.